listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so nice to be here. I wasn't sure I was going to get here this morning. I woke up this morning and I was screaming because my back was hurting. And so you can see we've got an extra chair here in case I have to sit down. But I'm glad you're here. And so in your program, you can find a little listening guide. You can take it out and follow along if you like. And we are continuing on in our series. I'm the fill-in guy in case you're new here today. I'm filling in between Pastor Steve and Pastor Ryan, and I am so happy to be back here. 42 years later, everything seems different, yes. But anyway, it's nice to be here. It's nice to get in touch with some of the parents of some of the kids that were in my youth group that many years ago, and they look so great. I'm so proud of you and so happy to be here. One of the things that I'm feeling is a lot of emotion, and I was trying to figure that out. And I think it is because of gratefulness. I'm just grateful for the season that I had while I was here. And I'm also just grateful for the impact that it has had on my whole ministry career of 52 years. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll get there in a moment. The title of what we want to talk about is, What Does It Take to Grow Through, to Be Growing Roots of Maturity Throughout the Seasons of Our Life? What does it take to be growing roots of maturity throughout the seasons of our life? The first week, we talked to you about what does it mean to belong to a church? And we gave you a choice. Are we a bag of marbles or a cluster of grapes? If we're a cluster of grapes, then we're merging into one another. There's grape stains on us, and we're discovering the sweet fellowship, the wine of fellowship that we have in the church that God intends. If we're a bag of marbles, then we're colliding with one another. We're rolling in and we're rolling out. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, we talked about the character of a church where people belong to each other. Then the second week, we talked to you about what does it mean to grow through the seasons. And we talked about this very interesting and important area of where we will be encouraged to grow fruit. And we talked about there are really 4 degrees of fruit bearing. No fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. If there is no fruit in our life, then the gardener will come alongside and will minister to us and see that there is a growth in our life. And sometimes that means discipline. If we go from no fruit to fruit, that's something to celebrate, but we need to go beyond that. How do we go beyond fruit to more fruit? Well, that's that process we called pruning. And pruning is sometimes difficult. Sometimes good things must be pruned out of our life for excellent things to happen in our life. Okay, so no fruit, fruit, more fruit. How do we go from more fruit to much fruit? That's the whole concept of abiding, remaining in the vine. We have a part to play, and of course, the Lord works in and through us His good pleasure. And herein is our Father glorified if we bear much fruit. So we come back again to this title. What does it take to be growing roots of maturity throughout the season? Let me ask another question that will help us to answer that. What is the ultimate goal of the Christian faith? Evangelical and liberal Christians might have a difference of opinion. Evangelical Christians would say, well, the ultimate goal of the church is evangelism. And so it is a high, high priority. Liberal Christians might say it's world peace and universal justice. What is it? Well, let's answer that by asking another question. What is God after? What God is after is the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus throughout our life, in word, in thought, and in deed. Romans 8:29 says, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Ephesians 4:15 says, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The NLT says it this way, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That is the ultimate goal of the church, Christ-likeness. So how does that happen? Well, to be like Jesus, we need to keep growing. Deep roots of maturity throughout the seasons of our life. I did a little research this week and looked at roots. How is it that roots grow and how many seasons do they grow? Well, I found out that roots will grow almost in every season as long as they have water and as long as they have nutrients. And even in seasons that are less than ideal, the roots will grow if you can find a way to get the water, get the nutrients to the roots. To be like Jesus, we'll need to keep growing roots of maturity throughout the seasons of our life. That will mean then those roots will have to be watered. Those roots will have to have the proper nutrients in order to spark that growth. On the other hand, if we are immature, we are regressing in our spiritual growth, we will not reflect the Lord consistently. People will look at our lives and they won't see that spark, the glimmer in our eyes, in our actions that reflects our Lord and Savior. So let's talk a little bit about that. What does maturity look like? How do we grow roots throughout the seasons of our life in a mature way? Well, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 6:3 is one of those passages. It's a little bit difficult to get a hold of, but we'll walk through it slowly. And you probably should have your notes because you'll get lost in the subpoints if you don't, okay? Here's three observations. The author of Hebrews, looking at those that were scattered because of the persecution, says, I have much to say to you, but you're just slow in learning. You're not trying to learn, in fact. By this time, you should be teachers. Instead, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not meat. Anyone living on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But righteousness is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary truths of God's word and let us go on to maturity. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. Now, if you look at that passage, as I said, there are three important observations. First one is immaturity is not reduced by age alone. Immaturity is not reduced by age alone. By this time, you should be teachers. It's not automatic. We love to say, give him time. Just give him some time and he'll grow up or she'll grow up. No, maturity is a consequence of conditions met. Age and time are necessary, but alone they produce nothing. It's like the high school principal. He was looking for an administrative position. And so he put out the invitation for some of the teachers to apply. A person of 25 years experience applied, and a person of 10 years experience applied. The person of 25 years experience thought it was for sure in the bag for them. The person who was 10 years wasn't sure, but they thought, well, we're going to give it a try. Well, he looked at the resumes and he came back and he chose the person who had been there for 25 years and he said, I want to see you first. And he brought him in the office and he said, I have decided to choose the other person who's had 10 years experience. And he said, George, because his name was George, said, George, listen to me. You have not had 25 years experience. You've had 1 year's experience 25 times. In other words, you have not really grown beyond that 1 year of experience. Yeah, you learned something, but you have not grown. Whereas this other person who's had 10 years has grown every year, and their expertise, their prowess is extraordinary. Now, that's a picture sometimes of what's happening in many people's lives. It's exactly what was happening in the Hebrews' life. They needed to hear the basic teachings of the Lord all over again. Time had no impact. One of my favorite quotes is, I'm suffering from prolonged adolescence that's merging into premature senility. Okay? Now, that's a sad thing. And it's a sad thing, too, if it's true of us spiritually. If we're not growing spiritually, then, in fact, we are going backward. So here's the deal. That doesn't, on the other hand, mean that we have to have lots of years to build a root system of maturity. I studied that out this week, and I found out that there are some trees that can grow very, very fast, even beyond those of the same nature. For instance, the new pastor that you have coming here, Pastor Ryan, I've spent some time with him. This is a wonderful young man, and he is a very mature young man. The scripture says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example, and he will do that. And I'm so happy for you for this next season of your church life. So immaturity, it's not reduced by age alone. Second observation is immaturity is self-identifying. It has clear marks. We can know whether mature or not mature, hopefully by this passage. It provides kind of a simple test for us. Most of the marks are seen in this passage. The first mark of immaturity is the inability to learn and to retain the spiritual ABCs. As I said a moment ago, they're not progressing. They're moving backwards. They have forgotten what they had learned, what they had taught before. Now, again, this passage isn't saying there's anything wrong with being spiritually immature if you're a new convert. That's a wonderful thing, and this church will provide the opportunity for you to grow in your faith. But in this case, it's because of neglect that they are regressing and not retaining the basic teachings about Christ. Things like the why of suffering. If you're immature and suffering comes into your life, it just throws you so far off. Or temptation. Why am I being tempted? Lord, you should be protecting me. Why am I being stretched financially? That's not right. That's what the immature says. On the other hand, if we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a backlog of walking through experiences that teach us to trust God through the ebb and flow of life. Now, is it right? Is it right that we in America have opportunity after opportunity to grow, and other parts of the world, they haven't heard, or they haven't heard much? Is it fair? Is it right that in churches all across America we have people that are not growing in maturity and thus not reflecting the Lord? I'm reminded of a story. Former ISIS soldier told me this in one of my trips to the Middle East. Came home from the battleground fighting against us. He did something so terrible that he wanted to go home. He wanted to talk to his mom about it. On the way home, he ran into a believer. And this believer led him to Christ. He was so excited about it. His life was absolutely transformed. He never returned to the battleground. He continued to grow. He grew fast in the Lord. I happened to see him a couple of times. The first time, I was able to be a part of the ordination of him into the ministry. Former ISIS soldier, now in gospel ministry. Now that's a little bit hard to figure out right there. But his life had been so transformed, and he was so growing in the Lord, it was so obvious. I saw him the second time. And in this case, I looked at his face, and it was all scarred up, and it was still red. And we found out by the story from others that what had happened 3 days before that meeting, that he was in his translation office. You see, this former ISIS soldier had so committed his life to the Lord and had so grown in the Lord, he was now overseeing 25 translations of the scripture himself. But what had happened is soldiers of the other team, the ISIS soldiers, had broken into the office and killed everyone in the office except him. And the only reason he survived is because one of his teammates laid on top of him and prayed that he would live. Well, that man died, and he did live. And here he was, still standing strong, still not having the Word of God fully in his language, but growing in maturity. See, that's the effort. That's the place that our prayers and our finances should be going, and so that people can grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. Immaturity is the inability to learn and to retain the spiritual ABCs. Second mark of immaturity is the inability to instruct others or themselves. Again, you ought to be teachers. If we don't know the ABCs, then it's obvious we can't even instruct another person. We can't tell them what we know. Again, if we're new in the faith, it's okay to be a child. See, what happens so often is immaturity is covered up by sophisticated cover-ups, like stock answers. Well, have you prayed about it? Oh, yes, you know what Romans 8:28 says. Well, those are great answers, but if that's all we got, there should be a whole lot more in our arsenal as we're trying to help others. See, stock answers become part of the immature's language. And sometimes they refer, well, I really don't have the time, but I know somebody who can. Now, again, if we're over our head, we should refer. But the point is, at certain points in our Christian experience, we learn some things. And we're able to draw from those lessons. We're able to comfort one another with the comfort that we have received. We're able to take scriptures that were worked through our life, through the stress and strain and problems of life, and we're able to pass them on to others if we are mature. The third mark of immaturity is the inability to discern good from evil. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, if we're not mature and we haven't trained ourselves, what does that mean? We cannot distinguish good from evil. Oh, maybe major evil things. But the subtleties of evil, we are not able to do. And so when the winds of teaching come through the church and also through the culture, we're not able to discern them. And that means then that we're also emotionally gullible, being still an infant. I was in Starbucks yesterday, and I will tell you all the details, but as I walked in, a young lady, 4 years old, I found out later, opened the door for me and welcomed me. Ahead of her was her father, I assume, in a baby's carriage with a baby in it. I walked in, ordered, and she was sitting at the table by herself. I was across the room, and she started talking to me. And I could barely hear her. But she said, "Do you want to come to my birthday party? I'm 4. I'm going to be 5 soon." And then, so I looked around for the father. You don't have to be careful in those situations, obviously. And so I went over to the big table that she was in, and I sat across from her. Her father wasn't there. This is about 5 minutes in. 15 minutes later, not there. 25 minutes later, not there. That whole time I sat there and talked to her, she had no idea who I was. She had no idea if I was a dangerous person, a stranger danger kind of situation. She was not able to discern good from evil. Finally, the father came out of the restroom, and you could see that there was something in his eyes. I'm just guessing what might have been happening while he was there. And I thought to myself, how sad, how vulnerable that little girl was. And the truth of the matter is, people, how vulnerable believers are in America. Not just the winds of teaching that blow through the church, but it's the winds of teaching that blow through the culture that become the basis for people's faith and love or lack of thereof. So we're emotionally gullible. We're doctrinally undiscerning. We're vulnerable to false prophets and to sin. Listen to 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter days, some will abandon the faith and will follow deceiving spirits. Listen to this. Things taught by demons, such as teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So these are teachings that have kind of an unholy power. They're very deceptive and they draw people in. It's not just a man-made idea. These are doctrines of demons. Again, not just in the church, but in the culture as well. Listen to Ephesians 4, 13 through 14. The author, Paul, is encouraging the saints to be equipped, be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the ways and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Person is unable to discern good from evil. They're also totally dependent on their teachers. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a favorite teacher. But if all we're doing is listening and not studying and not meditating deeply on the scripture, I had a wonderful conversation with Pastor Charles last Sunday. And he was telling me about things that he was teaching his class. You're very fortunate to have him teaching those things about meditation. Not just hearing, but deeply listening to that. What a wonderful thing it is. But if we're just listening and not doing more than that, then we're showing signs of maturity. So that's a lot to think about already. And we're just not even through yet. First mark, inability to learn the spiritual ABC. Second mark, inability to instruct others. Third mark, inability to discern good from evil. Fourth mark in this test, the inability to control childish reactions. Again, being still an infant. So we should ask ourselves, am I acting like an immature child? Am I governed by childish reactions and outbursts in my church, in my job, in my home? If things don't go my way, do I throw a fit, a tantrum, get miffed? Am I thankful, dependable, emotionally mature? The problem is most of us don't often see our actions as spiritually immature. Just like a child when it spills milk and starts to cry and stops, oh, I'm just being so immature. No, it doesn't happen. The fifth mark is inability to take solid food. Spiritual infants are still on milk. This is a very revealing mark. Some will quickly acknowledge the need for maturity, but interestingly, won't see themselves as immature. So if we are mature, then we'll be able to understand and also explain what follows this passage. If we go to Hebrews chapter 6, this is the elementary teachings about Christ. We'll be able to understand this. We'll be able to explain it. Here it goes. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Various translations read a little bit differently, but that's essentially it. These are the elementary teachings about Christ. They are milk. If we say we don't understand them, or we just barely understand them, let alone we can't teach them or share them, then the author of Hebrews, I wouldn't say that, but the author of Hebrews is saying we're immature. Appropriate for babies, but very inadequate for going on to maturity. Now, the passage doesn't say here that these are areas to be forgotten, denied, or neglected, but they shouldn't be the only focus point of attention, the chief center of attention. It's interesting to me that in many churches today, this is all we talk about. All they talk about, maybe that's because the congregation has refused to grow, or maybe the pastor himself is immature. They're easily broken down into three categories: repentance and faith in God, number one. Repentance, turning away, having faith in God. How many sermons do we have to hear about the need to repentance and having faith in God? How about baptisms? The laying on of hands, water baptism, being baptized with the Spirit, laying on of hands, the need to be associated with men and women of maturity around us. How about resurrection and eternal judgment, teachings on death, heaven, second return, and hell? Now, I don't have time to go into all that, and I think there's a few copies of one page that I put back in the coffee bar there. You can pick it up. They'll go in to explain these. But those are elementary teachings of Christ. Well, there's one more major observation that we need to make. Third observation is immaturity is costly. It's frustrating. It is very frustrating. It's frustrating for a teacher. They have to go over and over the same things. It wastes time. And it also implies, because people are immature, that they have to spend a lot of time with immature children that should have grown up. So, how do we grow roots of maturity through the seasons of our life? Two simple ways. By understanding, as I just said, and applying the elementary teachings about Christ. We should know them. We should understand them. We should be able to have at least a little conversation about them. And in that same category, we should also understand what it means to hunger and thirst after righteousness, or the teachings about righteousness. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. The teachings about righteousness is just right living. That has to do with the epistles, the letters in the Bible, the part that we do and as well we know. So we spend time at least having that backlog. Then the second thing about growing into maturity is by training ourselves to distinguish good from evil by constantly using the Word of God and applying the Word of God. Listen to this verse again. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That constant use, you could substitute the word apply. It is by applying the Word of God, as Pastor Charles told me and informed me last Sunday. It's not just hearing Bob. No.
In that deep voice. It's not just hearing Bob.
Beyond that, it's listening carefully. And then we talked about the need then to apply what we know. If we do not apply what we hear, we are building instability into our lives. A very familiar passage, a different metaphor, but the same idea. Jesus is finishing the Sermon on the Mount, and he wants them to do something with it, like maybe a pastor might on a Sunday morning, or a small group, or a class. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man or woman who builds his or her house on the sand. The rains come down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great clash. Here's the deal. If we don't hear and put into practice, we're building instability into our life. So that means that in churches across the land, if they listen to a good sermon and their response is, that was bad, way to go, a little better last week, but you know, that was good, and nothing else is done, there's no application, that is building instability into that person's life. That person then is responsible. I'm responsible for the word I read, the word I hear, the word I'm taught. If I don't find an arena of application, that means then over time, I'm regressing. I'm building instability into my life. And when the storms come, and they are a-coming, they are a-coming. And when the storms come in our culture, in our world, in our church, in our lives personally, the house will fall. And it'll be a great, great crash. So the secret to maturity, the secret to roots of maturity growing throughout the seasons of our life is to hear, listen carefully, and obey. What we don't use, we lose. Yes, stories and remembrances are wonderful about seasons that we go through. As I started our lesson off with this morning. But if I didn't take what I learned here, if I didn't take it and find some arena of application, I would have been going backwards. If we don't use it, we lose it. The constant use of the word is the training that leads to maturity and eliminates instability, gullibility, and immaturity. Therefore, review, read, and apply the word of God often. And it doesn't mean every last word, but it does mean we get an essence of what is being said in that passage, in that sermon, in that study. And we say, oh, Jesus, I want to build my house in a rock. I know the storms. I know the storms are in my life right now. So, Lord, please help me find a way to apply this in my life right now. Help me to think it through. And throughout the day, as this word, I meditate deeply on it and think about it long and hard. Lord, help me to find some way to say, yes, that's what I'm going to do with that. I'm going to apply it this way into my life. And when we do that, rocks are built. Foundations are built. And sand dissipates. What a wonderful thing. So you can see, then at the end of your notes, there are some application questions. Why do some people seem to have great desire to learn the basics of the faith and others slow to learn? Number two, why is doctrine important to a believer? Why should it be the basis for what we do? Three, why is it that reactions, outbursts, bad attitudes, quarrels, disregard for authority are symptomatic of immaturity? What's the best way to react when we find ourselves acting immature? Let's brainstorm ways we might apply the scripture, teaching, personal study, more consistently. Five, what help do we need in order to be more consistent in applying the scripture? What's my prayer regarding Hebrews 5, 11 through 6, 3, 7? What will be my practice the next time I'm taught or I study the scripture? And the last one, what does my new pastor that's going to be here in a few weeks, what does he look forward to when he preaches the word of God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word, and thank you that even though it's sobering, there's a simple answer. We just apply. Yeah, we're prone to immaturity. We're prone to wander. But Lord, we just come to you as we are, and we just make it very clear that we may need a fresh start. We need to make this an opportunity to say to you, Lord, from this moment on, by your grace and by your help, I choose to abide in you, to be engaged in spiritual health habits, but also to yield myself to your control. Just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I come to you, Lord, and ask that you will take me and use me, change me, and grow me up, be more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.